ABC Radio Australia.
Australia's new foreign minister says she is keenly aware of the challenge that climate change poses to Pacific Island nations. Maurice Payne will travel to Nauru this week to attend the Pacific Islands Forum leaders meeting in her first trip overseas since taking the job. Some Pacific Islander leaders are pressing Australia to make deeper cuts to its carbon emissions to help in the fight against climate change. Senator Payne has acknowledged the Pacific is particularly vulnerable to the changing climate and says Australia is meeting its commitments under the Paris Agreement. She's also denied that the new Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is snubbing the Pacific by failing to attend the leaders' meeting in Nauru. The Foreign Minister is speaking here to our Pacific Affairs reporter, Stephen Jejetz.
Well, I'm in fact leading from the front, Stephen, by taking up the role at the Pacific Island Forum myself, and of course Assistant Minister Rustin will be there with me. And that is a very important part of my focus. There have been many, many visits over the most recent years through the Pacific by ministers in the foreign affairs and trade portfolios, but frankly also by myself.
But I guess the argument is symbolism matters, symbolism for a new government matters, and we have repeatedly said we want to be the partner of choice for Pacific Island nations, and why should they privilege us if we continue to miss key meetings?
Well, we're not missing a key meeting, Stephen. I'm attending this meeting and participating in it fully with my counterparts and colleagues from across the region, the members of the forum itself. We have absolutely reinforced that the Pacific is a key priority of Australia's foreign policy, and I think I will be able to build stronger partnerships at the Pacific Islands Forum and beyond, and look forward to doing that.
Now, you'll sign the Bikitawa Plus security agreement in Nauru next week, and that agreement declares that climate change presents the greatest threat to the livelihoods of people in the Pacific. Now, in the wake of that, some Pacific leaders are again saying that Australia should be prepared to make deeper cuts to our carbon emissions. Is the government willing to contemplate that?
Well, it doesn't come as any surprise or new information that language is included in the declaration. It's very similar to language that was used in earlier declarations by the Pacific Island Forum. Mind you, the text is not finalised for signature yet, and I wouldn't make any further comment on that. But from Australia's perspective, we are in the in our own context, meeting our Paris targets. We absolutely recognise that it's in our national interest to take action on climate change. We know the challenges are evident in Australia, and we know they are particularly evident in the Pacific. They are particularly vulnerable to the effects of climate change and disaster. I, for one, have seen that myself in recent years as Defence Minister, where I've deployed multiple assets of the ADF and the men and women of the ADF to support humanitarian assistance and disaster relief activities after those sorts of issues have occurred in the Pacific. So it is absolutely a top priority for the region and a top priority for Australia.
In that context, would it be unconscionable for Australia to do as a small number, at least, of your colleagues are urging the government to do and tear up the Paris Agreement?
Well, as I said, we are currently meeting our Paris targets, and that is a very important focus for Australia. In terms of how we have engaged across the region, I know a number of countries have been recipients of Australian support to address climate change and disaster resilience in their countries. We committed $300 million in the Pacific Island Forum meeting in 2016. Two-thirds of that we have spent already.
Remediation is one thing, resilience is one thing, carbon emissions is another thing. Do you believe that our Paris commitment is a sacrosanct one? Should it be sacrosanct?
Well, I think that the best way that we can deliver on that is to meet our targets, and that's what we're doing.
Let's talk a little more broadly. Of course, Senator Rustin's predecessor famously accused China of building roads to nowhere in the Pacific, accusing Beijing of saddling nations with heavy debts. Do you share the Senator's concerns as you come into this role about the role that China plays?
I'm certainly not going to comment on or adopt those views. Our focus is ensuring that our contribution in terms of development assistance and in terms of engagement with our partners contributes to three key outcomes: to ensuring the security, the stability and the prosperity of this region, of the Pacific. And we encourage all other contributors, all other countries who wish to play a role, to have those targets, which are very, very sound, as their benchmark as well.
Now, of course, last week, Samoa's Prime Minister took a real shot at the major powers. He said that they were creating uncertainty in the Pacific through their contest for influence. Do you believe the Pacific is being destabilised by great power competition?
I understand that he's raised concerns in that regard, but as I said, Australia's focus is very much about, I think, things which are very close to the issues that he raised about delivering security and stability and prosperity in our engagement, and we would actively encourage any other contributors in the region and engagers in the region to do the same.
The Prime Minister also said some traditional partners of the Pacific had taken a patronising attitude towards Pacific nations who are dealing with new players. Has Australia taken a patronising attitude?
Australia takes a very positive attitude of engaging with partners, Stephen, and that is very much our focus. We have a number of development assistance partnerships with countries in the region. We work very closely to be responsive to the sorts of needs that are raised by our counterparts.
All right, just finally, Nauru. Nauru, of course, is also home to several hundred refugees. Will you visit or meet any of those refugees when you are in Nauru?
Stephen, the program is fairly full in terms of the schedule that the forum itself provides for this particular visit. It's my first opportunity to visit Nauru, and my focus will be on our bilateral engagements with Nauru, with the Pacific Island Forum itself, and my colleagues who will be there. I would say in relation to those people who have been in Nauru for some time now, that actually reflects a chronic failure of policy by the previous Labor government.
But there is still enormous controversy over Australia's arrangement with Nauru. There are regular reports of refugees, including children, suffering a deteriorating mental health. Human rights groups want it on the agenda at PIF. Will it be on the agenda?
Well, the agenda is a comprehensive one. The agenda is focused on regional security, on economic growth, on climate change and on disaster responses. And that's an agreed agenda between the members of the Pacific Island Forum. I'm aware of the sorts of concerns that have been raised by a number of groups, and certainly the government has endeavoured in working with the government in Nauru, bearing in mind that it is a sovereign government in Nauru, to ensure that those concerns are addressed.